Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, thanks for finding the Let's Go Eat Show. How did you find it, by the way? You know, where do you get your podcasts? Do you get them through iTunes? Do you get them just off the letsgoeatshow.com website? Does somebody put them under your pillow at night when you're asleep and then you find them the next morning and listen? How do you get your podcasts? And what do you do with them once you get them? Do you listen to them all the way through at once, or do you stop and start? The podcasts I listen to, I stop and start a lot because I get interrupted. But that's a kind of a nice thing about them. They're always right there. You can just, in mid-sentence, you can bring your podcast back up and start listening to it again. And I listen to a bunch of podcasts. I like to do it when I'm cooking dinner. And then nobody bothers me, except they do, and then I have to. Anyway, the Let's Go Eat Show, this time talking with an old friend of mine and his wife. These are theater people. Larry LeVar West, or L.L. West, is a director and a playwright, and he's written a play called The Wayward Sisters. There's a little confusion about that name, as you'll hear in the podcast. And also sitting here with us, his wife and actress, Betsy West, and she's in this production of The Wayward Sisters. I'm not going to tell you right now what it's about, because we talk about what it's about in the damn podcast. So why should I tell you now? What I'll tell you right now is we'd like to hear from you. Let us know how you like the Let's Go Eat Show, what you want to hear on the Let's Go Eat Show. You can send all of that kind of stuff to me. To me? Is that what you're pointing at me? What, like my personal email? Like bill@x96.com?
Yeah, you asked for it, buddy.
Okay, do that. Send it to bill@x96.com. All of the stuff, anything you want to say about the show, send it there. So anyway, here it is, without further ado, Larry West, Betsy West, talking about a play coming up at Pygmalion Theater here on the Let's Go Eat Show. People about whatever.
Oh, a fellow castmate
was our intern,
yes.
Allie Lenti.
Yes.
Oh.
And she was telling a story that she was upset that she did not get a nickname and was told she should be flattered that she was worthy of not having a nickname.
Yeah, usually interns get nicknames that are, it's not that it's unflattering stuff, but it's.
The joke is that interns are so. Not memorable, that they won't remember their name, so they have to give them a nickname. So it was a compliment for her that she was memorable enough that Bill and Gina would remember her name.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And it's because our we have interns, and we've had so many interns too. Tell her this: I saw her name in the cast list, and I went, Allie Lenti. God, I know that name. And then I looked her up, and I saw her picture, and I went, oh. She was that intern. She was a funny, talented, charming intern that I really liked.
She's funny.
Yeah. And so there's that story. And then you compare that to a story that happened just recently. This young woman came up to me and said, hi, you don't remember me, do you? No, I don't. What's your name? She said the name, and I didn't remember the name. And she said, well, I was one of your interns about 6 years ago.
6 years.
Yeah. And then I went, Oh, yeah. Of course. Now I remember you. I did.
No, it was a lie.
But oh, I get
it. I lie. I lie.
Yeah, students will say, oh, I was in your intro to theater class 12 years ago. Yeah, I had 50 people in that class.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do? Well, I think I did okay.
Yeah, you gave me a good grade. You called on me, and no, I don't remember you. No. But anyway, we're going to talk about this. So it's Larry West. You go by LL.
Only in print.
So everybody, no, people don't go and say, hey, LL.
No.
Get LL on the line, will you?
See, if my name were Lawrence, I would put that in print. But Larry LeVar West somehow doesn't smack of a playwright.
I don't know. It just it's smacks of a guy who's a bishop in a Mormon ward.
Or somebody in Harlem. LeVar and North Utah are probably the only LeVar places I know of.
Yeah. And, of course, accompanied today by his charming wife and talented wife, Betsy West, and we're going to talk about a play that they're doing, but we'll also talk about a lot of other stuff too. So
you guys have known each other for a long time.
Yeah, Larry and I go back
40 years, maybe.
Yeah. So we were in college together at Weber in the theater department. And Larry was ahead of me. Larry's older than I am.
Not much.
Yeah, but old.
Oh, geez.
Old enough. Much enough.
Bill's just excited to have somebody older than him on the podcast.
But
and Betsy is considerably younger than us.
Than just, all of us.
Sorry, than all of us. You know,
she's hovering right around 30-something, I would think. So Larry and Larry was a very impressive guy to me when I was in college because he had more experience. He'd been in the theater department, and he kind of knew his way around, and he was talented and always wanted to be a director. Really?
Yeah.
We acted in things together, though, and Charlie's Aunt, I recall.
Yeah, it was Jack.
Jack? Is that your character's name?
Mm-hmm.
Or my character's name?
No, I was Jack, and you were...
Lord Fancourt Baberly.
And you were...
From Brazil, where the nuts come from.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
And the reason I became a director is because I looked at actors like you, and I thought, I'm not that good. And he is, so maybe I can direct.
Well, and you did, and I think you probably directed me in things even in college.
Oh yeah,
so you know, it's pretty amazing to me, Larry, that you and I want, and I don't know Betsy's backstory, and we'll get to that too. That you have made your career doing that thing that we all started out. Is college students wanting to do, and so many of us did not continue to do.
I've been really lucky, yeah.
Yeah. You and Betsy, where did you start in acting and all of that?
I actually started as a modern dancer, and so my degree is from modern dance with a musical theater emphasis from the University of Utah. But as I got older and longer in the tooth, and the little chorus girl thing wasn't... I was always afraid I wouldn't be able to bow out of that gracefully, but I think I did.
I can still see the cute young chorus girl in you.
It's there.
Yes, it's there.
It's really well hidden with these clothes. But as I got older, I started doing more and more straight theater, and so now I do more theater and less musical theater.
Did you have some idea that you would always continue doing this?
Didn't know what else I really wanted to do.
Or could do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I like most actors, I do have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could get affordable health care elsewise. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah, I know. Larry, you have you have had a day job and you've had... Yeah, I don't know if you have a day job now.
No, I'm retired now. Yeah.
So you worked off and on out of the theater, but mostly in theater.
Academic theater.
Yeah, academic teaching and directing. And,
yeah.
Any desire to ever do that again?
I still direct. But
yeah,
not
but academics?
No, the academic. I think I burned that bridge. I wrote a play about academic theater.
Oh, what's it called?
Remington and Weasel.
And I grew to hate academic theater myself, the college and graduate school theater, because I went to that vicious Penn State University for graduate school, which was a great theater program, but it was pretty rough. It was rough on me, And they're sometimes not kind, but that's the way theater is.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's more not, about what your play was about and yeah, why people Remington, are mad at you about
why
it.
Did they get mad at you for Remington and
What's
Weezer?
The drama?
The drama is there's a Henry Kissinger quote that says academics are so brutal because the stakes are so low.
I like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so that was basically the premise for this play. And there was a teacher roughly based after maybe me who said some things and did some things that he or she shouldn't have said mm-hmm. and got in trouble for it. Mm-hmm. But the stakes were so low.
Yeah.
But I mean, the results, yeah. the end result was that, you know, people lost jobs and people kind of suffered. But the stakes were so low.
It's and it is true, and I don't know people who are, you know, theater people who will listen to this, but it's the same kind of thing in radio in a way. There are always, and maybe in all of the arts,
maybe
there are people who it seems to be their job to make you feel like you're just a piece of shit. You know, that's what they think that that's part of their job.
Yeah.
Is to make you feel that you're really not worthwhile. And they'll tell you on the one hand, oh, we can't do this without you. And, gee, you're a great talent. And then the next minute they turn around and tell. Well, I think Harvey Weinstein is sort of an example of that in a way. But and then they'll tell you you're just worthless and not good for anything. And try and keep you down a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Academic theater, it's a tough place. It's mean and there are people who sit on that throne and dictate to these little college and university students and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know or care what they're doing to their psyches or and that happens really a lot in theater because it's such a touchy-feely.
I was a theater major for 15 minutes when I first went to college and changed. It's kind of what that Whiplash movie is about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very.
Exactly. J.K. Simmons
it's very,
and Miles
very
Teller.
Much, yep. Very much like that. And there are those – all of us who have been in academic theater or dance or art, we have all had our J.K. Simmons.
Absolutely.
And maybe more than one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So the reason we're here is to talk about a play that Larry has – another play that you've written – and it's called The Wayward Sisters.
Wayward Sisters.
The Wayward Sisters. That's right. There's an E in there.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought it might be a misprint, but it's not. Why is it The Wayward Sisters?
Wayward, Old English for weird. So Shakespeare's first folio of Macbeth mm-hmm. calls them the Wayward Sisters, and it was then subsequently changed to weird, so they're now – and it's – probably kind of a dialect thing. I mean, if you say weird, right, kind of
weird.
Weird.
Weird's kind of a Scottish
thing, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and, you know, that's my favorite Shakespeare play, too, Macbeth. So this is a take on the witches?
On the witches. Yeah.
And Betsy's one of them.
She's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is it like to write a play and then cast your wife as a witch?
That's kind of fun, really.
Yeah.
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 Be kind.
Let's talk a little bit about the whole experience and what it's about.
So I've always been kind of fascinated with theater, superstition, and tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me that sort of thumbed my nose at all the superstition. You know, the big one is you don't say Macbeth in the theater. You say the Scottish play.
Yeah, if you refer to it at all, you have to call it the Scottish play.
And I've never done that.
Me either.
I've been in the theater and said Macbeth so many times and freaked out so many people.
I know. People got on your ass about it.
I mean, they
it.
Get really pissed
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
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 And they want you to go outside the door and, mm-hmm. and spin mm-hmm. and spit and swear and knock and
stupid
and beseech. So that was sort of the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. So Macbeth is the play to take big swipes at that, and there's a whole scene where people mess up the name. And,
mm-hmm.
So there was that part of it. A couple of years ago, I wanted to write a play for the first Fringe Festival. Didn't quite know what I wanted to write, but I did some research, and Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead was first done at a Fringe Festival in Edinburgh
mm-hmm.
in 65.
The original Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes long, and I thought, I can do that.
Let me do this parenthetically. I had the first, my first exposure to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead was from you at Weber.
How so?
You and Larry Fulton did a scene from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead, a play I think I'd probably heard of but had not seen or read, or and you guys did a scene from it where you were in the, we were all sitting on the stage and you guys were in the house. You see, it left an impression on me. 40 years ago, the two actors are out in the house doing the scene, and we were all sitting on stage watching it. It was, and I'm going, damn, this is cool. And I also was going, Larry West, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
You probably directed that, didn't you?
I did that direct scene. Yeah.
So anyway, that's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. There, two characters in Macbeth, and Tom Stoppard wrote that play. Well, what is the life of those? It's a brilliant concept.
Brilliant conceit.
What's the life of these two characters? They're kind of functionaries in the play.
Yeah, tiny, tiny little reference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what is their life when they're not being in the play? What are they doing? And it's a brilliant idea, and so you've kind of riffed on that.
Riffed on that. So we see
the witches
off stage as they're preparing to go on, and they're bickering and trying to memorize lines and do all of that kind of stuff, and saying Macbeth and not meaning to say Macbeth.
Oh, is it now? Is it like the first production of Macbeth ever done? Is that also part of the idea?
Yeah, I think it probably. Well, maybe. I don't
that
really
happens
know.
A lot with this script. What it? Maybe we don't know. It's
you have to ask a lot of questions as an actress.
Yes, yeah. And we don't always. Usually, we don't get answers.
Just I don't know. How should I know?
Ask
that?
The director. I'm not. You're not directing it,
no.
Right? You're the playwright.
I'm the playwright.
Yeah. What's the name of the? What are the names of the witches, Betsy?
I'm playing Leandra, and then there's also Sky and Fayune.
And they're not ever named in Macbeth,
no.
Are they? No, they're just the three sisters.
I went to a Google search and looked up names of witches historically and found three that I liked.
Yeah. And it's been a while, a long time since I've seen Macbeth. They're pretty interchangeable in the play itself, as I recall.
Yeah.
The three of them do not have real defined characters. They're just.
No, they're numbered.
Yeah. And they're just you could they each just say lines and it could be any of them.
Exactly.
So what do you do with that as a playwright and as an actress? I assume you've given them characteristics.
Well, once you see this play, you'll never see Macbeth in the same way again. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I hope. So I don't know if this is giving the plot away, but. Because some lines are misspoken by the witches, we change the course of the play as it is known today.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Well, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, do you want to know more about that?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
It's probably not tipping.
I don't
too
think
much.
It'll. I don't think it's. I'm not too worried about plot spoilers
okay.
and stuff
okay.
like that. And I don't think you
I
should
don't
be
think this
either.
Does.
Okay.
You know,
so
the first witch says.
All hail Macbeth,
Thane of.
Well, no, the line is spoken.
Oh.
All hail Macbeth. It's the way Larry.
Have you got your lines down?
There
yet?
We go. No, it's just this is rehearsal all the time. Now, is this real? Is this not real? So, as the play is written, as Larry has written it, the line should be. All hail Macbeth, who shall see the king hereafter.
Okay.
But one of the witches misspeaks the line and says, all hail Macbeth, who shall be king hereafter.
Which is what Shakespeare
wrote.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But only because
mind.
The witches screwed it up.
So do they? So then they go, wait, I didn't say that right? Do they do that kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, it's like,
oh, crap.
Crap, you messed that up. So what do we do? Because Macbeth... There's a line that says, you know, how can Macbeth be so thick that he really believes by me just saying that he's going to be king?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
mm-hmm.
is that thick, and he's going to go commit
multiple murder
yeah.
with
yeah.
his wife. So is Macbeth also a character in your play?
We just see the three sisters. The
Never
three
see him.
We hear them.
You hear, okay.
We hear the offstage.
Noises
stuff.
Off.
Yeah.
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 So, which is another play. So whatever perception we have of Macbeth, we get their perception. What do they think of him, the witches?
We kind of want to know what's going on under his kilt. It's about as deep as we get.
That's it.
That's how deep this play is. Yeah.
See, it is. I don't think we ever said it's a comedy, but it is.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. I think I was kind of approaching it as it was kind of maybe real serious. Because you could have done that.
Could have done that. Yeah. This is more fun.
This is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
It's called – you did kind of a version of it. Is it the exact same thing you did at the Fringe Festival?
No. I've expanded it some.
Yeah. Did they laugh at the Fringe Festival?
Yeah, they did.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a comedy. I'm going with that then.
Something comedy. We learned from the Fringe Festival was that I kind of assumed people knew Macbeth a little bit better than we know Macbeth. So we've added like a 5-minute prologue, which is two people coming out with a flip chart telling the story of Macbeth.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that helps.
Well, do they do it like, ladies and gentlemen, before the play begins –
yeah.
We think it's necessary that you know this.
Yeah, you got this dude, and
it's a little comic riff on it. And, cool. What's it like in the setting? I know you're doing this at the Rose Wagner in the Black Box Theater,
right,
where we did Godot.
Right.
What's the setting like? Is it?
It's a tent, kind of a makeshift tent that was probably used or is probably used for prop storage. So they've kind of put these three characters they don't know what to do with off in some temporary space.
Also our dressing room.
Also their dressing room,
All right. Well, and costuming-wise, you are in sort of period-looking things, or?
We're sort of in dressing gowns, and you only see us in costume briefly as we run off stage to say our lines.
But they're full masks and
wigs.
Wigs and the whole thing.
You've given a picture of these witches, Betsy, as not being the bright. Are they all kind of dimwits? Or?
It's not so much that they're dimwits. I think there's a little bit of competition. Who's the better actor? Who's the better witch?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it.
Who can make the biggest splash in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
So when one screws up and says the wrong word,
they let her know.
They let her know.
I know one of the other actresses in this is a former intern of ours. Her name is Allie Lenti.
Right.
And I know for a fact she's really funny.
She's funny.
Yeah, she's got great comic chops. And who's the other actress?
Tamara Howell.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, so. She's funny.
Yeah. Her
sort of claim to fame is she has probably played more ethnic characters in this town than anybody I know.
Really?
Yeah.
We call her our ethnically ambiguous actor.
I know the kinds of, I heard Giancarlo Esposito, you know who that is?
Yeah.
Talking about that. I think he's originally Puerto Rican, I think.
Really?
I think. But he said in an interview I heard, he says, because of the color of my skin, it's just a dark enough shade. I've played black men. I've played Puerto Rican men. I've played Spanish. I've played Mexican. I play, whatever they need. Iranian. Whatever they need, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, Tamara's Italian, and she's played Navajo. She's played.
Jeez. It's interesting, isn't it?
Pakistani.
Yeah.
She was just in the Heights.
I mean, that's fascinating. Yeah. In a way, I guess that would be kind of a badge of honor and make you a real utility player.
Well, she
kind of
loves it. Yeah. And she's Welsh in this one.
Okay. Yeah. It works. Talk about – so the play, and it's the Wayward Sisters. The Wayward Sisters. Do you kind of explore and explode the Macbeth taboo, the mystery?
Yeah.
Did you research why that ever came about?
A little bit. I think traditionally Macbeth is a violent play.
Difficult to do.
Yeah, difficult to do, and you put And it's typically done with broadswords, not épées. And you put broadswords in over-anxious, passionate actors, and somebody's going to get hurt.
Now, so do you recall the production of Macbeth that we did at Weber State?
Indeed.
I was in it. I had one line. I was in many scenes, but I had the immortal line, "They are my lord, without the palace gate." You know, he said,
"Nicely done."
Macbeth says, "Are those murderers that I asked you to? Are those murderers here?"
Macbeth was
Ken Klein.
Ken Klein, and he broke his leg.
It was severely injured in dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
So the curse of the play was certainly held true. And he had to do the set was designed by, I think it was Michael Sharp was the name of the designer. And he designed this really impossible set that was designed to kill actors.
Oh, yeah.
It had stairs that were at odd angles and stuff. And Ken slipped and fell, I think.
Now, I'd heard another thing, something else about Macbeth, about why it was bad luck. I don't know where I picked this up, but I'd heard that when a theater company was getting ready to go under, as a last-ditch effort, they would do Macbeth because everybody would go see Macbeth.
Everybody liked it. Yeah.
So when somebody said Macbeth, it was like, oh, no, that's bad luck because that means we're about to be out of work. This theater's about to go under. Had you heard that?
No, but I like it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Macbeth is a really accessible Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the one that everybody, to try to get people into Shakespeare, it's the one they should see.
Oh, yeah.
And then go on to complicated and fanciful.
There are no subplots. It's pretty linear. Yeah. I guess a little bit with, pretty straightforward.
Yeah. There's a ghost, but that, you know. Now you need to do a play about Banquo. Wouldn't that be interesting? Banquo's ghost.
Banquo's ghost.
Yeah. It's very straightforward and it's violent. And you can do it with all kinds of blood and gore.
Yeah.
And, you know, people love that. I mean, it was sort of the equivalent of car chases, Elizabethan times. But I remember that production we did. It was violent, and it was you said the broadswords. We had those heavy broadswords,
and
I know people got dislocated shoulders from getting hit with those, and all kinds of shit.
Do you remember who the witches were?
Hazel Robertson.
That's a good witch's name.
Oh, and I don't remember who the other two were.
Renetta Feltz.
Oh, your ex-wife.
My ex-wife. How's that for some?
Becky?
Oh.
Rebecca?
Oaks.
Tall, blonde, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, was it interesting? Yes, you saw your soon to be wife as a witch.
Actually, I was.
Were you guys married at the time?
No, I wasn't there during that time. I just heard about that production. I was off on my Mormon mission during the Macbeth days.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a great, great play, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this. Pygmalion is producing it.
Right.
It's at the Rose Wagner, and it's November. Third. Through the 18th? I wrote it down.
23rd?
Maybe longer
than
that.
No, I wrote 3rd through 18. 3 through 18 is what I wrote. That's from the release. There was now the, so
I'll look it up.
Thank you, Dylan. There's not a misprint that it says the Weward sisters, but they're in the release that I saw about it that our good friend Daisy Blake sent us. It says the witches discuss the playwright who they call the Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a misprint? Or
no.
They call him the Brad.
They call him the Brad.
Oh, instead of the Bard.
That's corrected too, but one of the witches mishears. You go around calling him the Brad.
What does it mean? He's the Brad.
He's the Brad. Yeah. And then one of the witches said, well, he might be French. So Betsy said.
Monsieur Le Brad.
Monsieur Le Brad. Do you guys use Scottish accents in this?
Just briefly.
Just to
briefly, when we're referring to kilts and brief things under the kilt.
Mostly it's kind of a soft British with a little bit of Welsh from Tamara.
The 18th.
18th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
3 through 18. You wish it were longer?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we got another shot at doing this play. When we did it a couple of years ago at the Salt Lake Fringe Festival, it was thrown together so quickly. And the language that Larry has come up with, holy crap, it's a challenge. We all thought our brains were going to explode.
Can you give us a little sample of that? Can you call to mind a little short speech that you do that might give us an idea?
I'm probably going to mess it up. This alliteration about these spells, the surprisingly sexy, seemingly serendipitous spell sequel. And that is just a very small part of pages of this alliteration. And so, well, that wasn't actually in the first one, but those sorts of things. Ooh. And we had such a short rehearsal time that I felt like we were just trying to get the words out. And so to be able to go back to it and really expand the characters, to find them more.
Can you do your lines of?
I will try. I can do them forward. I don't know about the backwards yet. Somebody asks if I want to run lines with them. And so my line to reply to that is lines, lines of brine. Lines of red vines, lines in the sand, entwine, grapevine, moonshine, equine, supine, white pine, canine, feline. The play's sort of like that.
So it's very difficult to, it's like doing Godot in a way, or it's difficult to do the lines because they sort of don't make any sense in sort of context sometimes.
Until they do, and then they sort of lock in, and it's, hope.
It makes it difficult. I hope you know how difficult you make it for an actor when you do that kind of thing.
I know.
And I'm sorry, but do it anyway. So at least once during rehearsal, it's like, oh, God, Larry, what were you thinking?
They do?
Yeah, they do.
You attend all the rehearsals?
No.
No, good. I don't know how. I think of trying to direct or write something for my wife to do, and I just would never. I'd never work.
I really believe that playwrights shouldn't direct their own work. I think you need that other eye and another vision, and to find things that, they've discovered stuff I didn't know was there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
Do you believe in directing your own wife? You've directed your wife in plays.
Oh,
and that works okay for you guys?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's good.
She's good.
Yeah,
we have fun.
Yeah, I don't. I tried to do that one time with my ex-wife, Dylan's mother, Claudia.
Oh, yeah.
One time only, and when we were in college, only time I would ever. And I said, "Nope, never again." Why are you telling me to do that? Well, I'm the director, and this is what I want you to do. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. It was that kind of stuff, and I don't want to do this.
I'm really glad we can work together.
Yeah, we can.
We've
done it five times, maybe.
I don't even know, but he's so good. I just trust him.
He is a good director because he directed me in Waiting for Godot. And that was a remarkable experience on many, many levels.
Oh, it was pretty wonderful for me.
It was hard because it's a hard play. It was hard for some other reasons, but, but man, it was my wife still says to me occasionally, she'll look at me and she'll go, like leaves. Yeah, it's just what I love doing it. God, it was good. It was so much fun and so hard, and it was everything a theater, an acting experience should be. Everything.
And directing,
Even the problems.
Even the problems,
It's everything it should be. What are you doing besides this, Larry? Are you directing more? Anything that you'd want an old friend to be in?
No, I will find that project, but it probably won't be for a year. Mm. I had a little bit of a health scare not too long ago.
I hope you're fine.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
It's going to be a process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I realized I needed to clean the slate for a year, so I got out of 3 directing jobs. And
really?
Yeah.
It'll be a while.
It'll be a while.
Yeah. Well, and I know – are you still working? I looked up just a little short bio of you, and it said that you were producing director or – doing production for
Pinnacle.
For Pinnacle, yeah.
And I've kind of dropped out of that for a while.
Okay. All right. Taking care.
Taking care.
Well, I'm glad
it
doing
happens
that.
When you get old and have not taken care in some of the previous years.
Well, know? It's all that hard living you've done.
Yeah.
He always was a wild guy, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. It's called The Wayward Sisters, and it will be at the Rose Wagner Theater, November 3 through 18. And you can get tickets through Artix.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. You don't work there anymore, do you?
No.
Yep. Well, so go to Artix or Pygmalion Theater. You can look them up online easy enough and probably even buy tickets online that way, yeah. I would mm-hmm. think. How about you? You're doing this. What are you, any more acting, Betsy?
Yes. After this, I'm thrilled to say, excuse me, I just got cast in a role of a lifetime. I am going to be in the judge in The True Story of the Three Little Pigs at Slack for their holiday children's show.
They do those very well.
They do those well,
it was great
very
when they,
well.
When they started doing those 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, they do the children's shows really well. So you are the judge.
I am the judge.
So they're hearing the case of the three little pigs versus the big bad wolf.
Yes, and the audience is the jury, so they will ultimately decide each performance.
They'll love it. They will love it.
I'm very excited to be back at Slack.
Yeah. Into the mouth of the wolf.
Oh, that's an opera reference. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beyond me. I never cared for opera much. But
well, when theater people say break a leg, mm-hmm. dance people say mared, opera people say into the mouth of the wolf, or toy, toy, toy.
Yeah.
That's the opera thing.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing it. Betsy, by the way, I think when the first time I've seen you work, I had not, and when I was, I guess it was probably when we were doing Godot or something, and I said to somebody, I'm doing that play with Larry West, and they said, oh, do you know his wife, Betsy? And I said, no, I don't. I haven't met her. And whoever it was said, she's one of the most talented actresses in Salt Lake, certainly. And, yeah, I forget who said that, but said, oh, you're – wait till you meet her. But you got to see her work, and then I have since. But,
oh, that's so nice.
It was really nice, and I would agree.
Well, thank you.
So, and then I know Allie, who's in it, and she's really funny and talented. So I think it's going to be a great experience. And I hope that other witch is okay, too. What's her name?
Tamara Howell.
Tamara Howell.
And she is every bit as funny as Miss Allie, and it's a treat to be on stage with those two.
Cool.
I trust them with my life up there.
Excellent.
It's great.
All right. I'm going to come see it.
Thank you.
And all the best.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations. I think it sounds terrific. So we'll be there.
Thank you.
All right. Is that it? I think that's it. Go see it. The Wayward Sisters, Pygmalion Theater, November 3 through 18. Get tickets at Artix. That's it. I'm Bill Allred. Thanks, Dylan, for doing all that producing. Remember, if you're pouring drinks, always make mine a double.
Broadway Media Podcast Network.